Clerk, if you'd call the roll.
Mr. Waddell. Mr. Johnstone.
Here.
Mr. Shealy.
Here.
Mr. Leskovic.
Here.
Mr. Julian.
Here.
Mr. Lastic.
Here.
Mr. Stredney.
Here.
Mr. Salido.
Here. Get a motion to adopt the general consent agenda.
Second.
Got a motion by Mr. Stredney, second by Mr. Julian. I think. All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, we had a situation we thought would be more efficient. We want to talk about the extensions in regard to the time frame. We're currently at 3 minutes, and then we can get up to a three-minute extension. So under the advice of the law director and confirmed with others, we think it takes away a lot of controversy if we could, the council would consider either 3 and 2 or 3 and 3, whatever the thought was.
Just combining it.
Combining it, just everybody will have a flat 6 minutes. If they don't need it, they don't need it, but then we don't have to potentially be as subjective. We're allowing everyone the same opportunity without a vote, without having to stop in the middle, and et cetera, and go through all that. So what the potential thought is, do we have any... thoughts on that, Mr. Stredney?
Legislation, or is it just a...
So for any one meeting, the rules can be amended with a 6 vote, but then we would at next meeting, we would need legislation to amend our rules permanently. So if 6 of you vote, 6 or more vote, to change, suspend council rules for this particular purpose, then that would be good for this meeting. And then if this is something you want to be permanent, then that'll come as legislation at the next meeting.
Shanana, before we ask for a vote, or sponsorship, I should say.
I do have a question. What is the difference between the 2 3-minute and the 6? Basically the same.
I think the issue would be if you get 3 and we ask for 3, we have... First, it would be the time frame issue that we have to stop and ask for is there a motion to give the 3 minutes and a second, then a roll call. So the expediteness of it, and then the second would be that everybody's treated the same fairly, that they all become faceless. They just came up, and if they need the 6 minutes, they get the 6 minutes. Some are done in 2 minutes, some are done in 3, but it would be 6 minutes straight without any extension given at that point.
They would basically get up to 6 minutes to address however many topics, but you wouldn't be permitted to just belabor a point. Once the topic is done, you move on or you're finished. But there would no longer be any kind of stop. We need to do a roll call for 3 additional minutes. It would be just one seamless transition.
I think part of this conversation also included removing discretion. Right. So if we're rubber stamping additional 3 minutes, right, then what's the point of stopping? We might as well just give them the 6 minutes. But I think this eliminates any of that discretion where what is a scenario where we're not going to give an extension, right? And then you have to justify why you are not giving that extension as opposed to just giving a flat, this is what it is, there are no extensions, and everybody is treated equally regardless of the topic of the conversation.
Good point, Aaron. It allows us to be firm, fair, and consistent with everybody. And then there is no disparate treatment towards anyone and everyone. It doesn't change the fact threats aren't accepted, you know, those type of behavior, all that. All those rules are still in effect. It just allows people their unhinged, free, uncontrolled First Amendment rights to come in and hopefully critique in a somewhat polite way, but... doesn't always go that way, but it allows us to get it moving without having to stop and keep it going longer in the middle by doing a roll call, a vote, etc. So, do we have any other discussion? Is there a motion to suspend and allow under this by anyone? Or could you spell out what you're requesting, Mr. Stredney? Motion by Mr. Stredney. Second by Mr. Shealy. Clerk, would you call the roll on suspending for tonight before the legislation is drawn up?
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Mr. Johnstone? Mr. Shealy?
Yes.
Mr. Leskovic?
Yes.
Mr. Julian?
Yes.
Mr. Lastic?
Yes.
Mr. Stredney?
Yes.
7 yeas, 0 nays.
No. Get a motion to adopt. Motion by Mr. Lastic, second by Mr. Stredney. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Mr. Johnstone?
Yes.
Mr. Shealy?
Yes.
Mr. Leskovic?
Yes.
Mr. Julian?
Yes.
Mr. Lastic?
Yes.
Mr. Stredney?
Yes.
7 yeas, 0 nays.
President, just for clarification, this is for tonight only. We still need to adopt or change our council.
Correct. The legislation will be drawn up by Mr. Zuzulo for everyone to review before it's a permanent or if it needs tinkered, et cetera. So
that'll be presented at next council meeting.
The issue of allowing the 6 minutes has been suspended for tonight and adopted under council rules. Public remarks. Any public remarks? Mr. Strong, could you come to the podium, please? We don't have to have your address, just your name, if you would.
I'm Richard Strong. I got a couple issues I want to cover, but the first one I wanted to say, they're all, except for the last, they're all basically under one heading. But I was wondering, you know, at first when I heard Bernie Profato bring up his issue about children in the street, I thought, here's another cranky old man that doesn't want kids playing in the street. And then I found out that what he said is exactly what's happening. And obscene gestures and trouble and stuff like that. Nobody should have to put up with that nonsense. When we were kids playing in the street, the word was car. And the moment you heard that, you just went to the ditch. You didn't look to see where the car was. You got out of the road. And we never had these kind of problems. Times have changed. So, you know, on that, I'd like to know where that went. And then sidewalk clearing in the future. The main road sidewalks. On Robbins, I saw so many people slipping and sliding down Robbins Avenue, pedestrians falling down. There seems to me that we should be able to do something. Kids going to school across the viaduct. Viaduct is loaded up with it. The bridge over to Mosquito Creek by there, the same thing. And then my third issue was, what's going on about the safety in the forest and the park? Are we moving forward with an arborist because we don't have one? Are we having it? Are they assessing the forests at Waddell and at Stevens? Are they also going to be looking at the trees that can take out infrastructure such as power lines? There's lots of them brought up before in James Shealy's first term when he was the chair of the public safety committee. And speaking of the public safety committee, what happened to the public safety meeting that I understood Julian called for last Tuesday? It just seems to have disappeared. And oddly, all three of these things deal with public safety. And then my last issue is in my first summer here, this is my fourth summer, so in the first summer here, the telephone pole in front of my house was hit and broke. Niles City Services, as they usually do, boom, they were on it. Our stuff was off that pole. They had it braced up and everything. And all we're waiting for is the cable and whoever else has their crap hanging up there. There's nothing from Niles on that pole. Yet, here we are now. And the third summer, it's been there because it was here my first. I've been back 4 years. So it's been sitting there for three summers with bracing on it, water getting in it during the winter, freezing, expanding, contracting. Those braces are good, but when does it come down? Do we have no control over the utilities that are using pools? Do we have no control over the cable companies? Is that just something that's beyond our purvey? And, well, Rich, we can't take it down because they got their stuff hanging on it, and we can't make them take their stuff down. So those were my issues for tonight, and I'll leave you guys to discuss them because I don't feel like arguing.
Well, let's start with the public safety. I had a meeting.
No, we didn't have a meeting. We canceled it. After speaking with the other two members of the committee, we just didn't think it was something that was necessary at this time. Just because the original complaint was about basketball hoops, and we're literally, we were in the middle of the winter. So, I mean, I don't think that basketball hoop issue was, well, Mr. Perfato even said himself, it wasn't that. It was the kids were being disorderly, and they were being disrespectful to the residents over there. So, I can't speak for the chief because he's not here, but, I mean, if that's the case and that's what they're doing, those are calls that if they make those out to the dispatch that the police would report to. So,
they made an additional call yesterday, and two of the neighbors did it, so I don't know what the tally's at, but it has to be rising to the nuisance level to do. But I do know for sure two different calls were made yesterday. So,
is it a complaint to us, or is it a call to the police department?
Well, no, it would be to the police department. So it's going to be a police matter. But I guess, Phil, if you could get us an update by the time our next meeting of where we're at on this status of how they're at. But I did tell these individuals when they call to log their self so they have record of calls that are going in. So I do know that two of them went yesterday. Telephone pole issue, I'm going to have to defer to the mayor on that if he...
I was going to add to that. We had this discussion before, I believe, and it was supposed to be that they were going to get this stuff off of there. And I don't understand why, what the holdup is with the, you know, the cable company removing everything from that so that we can get that out of there.
What's the, it's a double pole?
I believe it was a single pole that was up there in front of Richards. It was broken, and they had it all patched up. Our guys patched it all up. And I think Mr. Flair and I spoke about it the one time. He said that they had to get the cable company to get their stuff off.
That's what I mean. There's currently a pole side by side right now.
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah.
What's the address, Jim?
That was Richards, 1017 Robbins.
Okay, we'll check into it. Soon as that occurs, our light department comes off first, sets our pole, reattaches, and then our light department is hooked up. It's called a SPANS system, S-P-A-N-S, Niles Light, and all of the telecommunications company are a part of this database. We'll have to we'll check on this one.
Be great, Mayor, because it's James's ward. If you'd be able to just follow up when you know something with James, and he can let us all know. So, the other thing I think was raised was the status on the arborist, the parks, the Stevens Park situation, I guess, along with the others. Do we have an update?
Same update I've been given. So, I know the park director has a plan to take a look at that this summer. I know that we have previously removed unsafe trees in the parks. Just removed 8 of them on Holtz and Near Street, Stevens Park. So again, I don't believe it's anyone's desire to actually hire a city arborist. However, all of our professional tree companies that we do business with does have certified arborists on staff. And I know that's the park director's desire this summer, is to contact one of these tree companies and have their team, their arborists, do a little assessment in both Stevens and Waddell Park.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Dave Petrillo?
Hi, my name is Dave Petrillo. I live on Emma Street. There's just a couple of things that I want to go over. First thing is I just want to address that one of our community members passed away, Chase Miller. A lot of us knew him, and he showed us the love and everything of this town. So he put up a good fight. I just want to mention that. Also, I started organizing the July 4th car show event. And I just want to give everybody a heads up on a keep everybody up to date on that, what's going on. I got a couple food trucks already. Scope Center here, already talked to Doreen. She put us down for that date. I got some stuff I made on Facebook. I want to start making some flyers and everything and start getting stuff out for that.
What was the date on that?
July 4th, from noon to 4. So we'll be moving along with that. Also, I just heard about the basketball courts. I was just wondering if there's a deadline, since those were taken down. I wonder if there was a deadline of any kind to replace them.
I believe the plan was they were going to just put a half court in at Waddell Park, and I'm not sure, James, was there a half court going in over at Murphy?
I'm not sure where we're going to go with that. I'm going to talk to Mr. Planning and see what we're going to do with that, because I think we'd, you know, have to see what funds we have for something like that. But before we could do anything over there, we'd have to have a camera. We would, and so we're at the mercy of that right now, because what's going to happen is they're going to continue to destroy it. They've destroyed everything over there. Last time I was over there again, it broke my heart. They had damaged the playground equipment even more, and it's very frustrating, because I want to see that there. However, they keep destroying this stuff. We would have to have a camp.
Yeah, I think that we have a trick basketball hoop and a half court going over at Waddell, and Kennedy's or Murphy's kind of on hold till they get a chance to review that. So that's my understanding, is it's going to shift to Waddell for now, and it's up in the air what happens over at Murphy. I think that's to be decided still, or be determined, correct?
Well, it was determined that there is a plan for Murphy Park. The park isn't going away, isn't being sold off, isn't being removed altogether. The park director has a plan. That plan was shared with council. There were budgeted funds in this year's 2026 budget to address Murphy Park, and I know there's probably going to be more funding in the future for that park as well. So it may not be $5.5 million like Waddell Park,
right?
But Murphy Park will remain as part of the park system, and there will be minor improvements, including that camera, which is on our IT director's radar coming up.
You have an approximate, do we expect that basketball hoop and the, you know, the different other one going in at Waddell, is it this year?
I believe the park board authorized design of that current playground area facility. So that's where that bank shot court will be.
It'll be a court to play basketball of some sort, right?
Bank shot, pickleball, life-size chess checkers, bocce. It's that multi-play facility.
Get that, a trick shot, but we also, there was discussion of having some sort of being able to play basketball, and everybody wants to go down and play trick shot. I mean, you could play trick shot in your driveway. There was, I mean, unless I misunderstood, I think that's what we talked about at budget, to have a small half court of some sort to play basketball.
At Waddell, yeah.
Yeah.
It's bank shot, it's called. That's what was discussed for that area.
I mean, currently we only have Kennedy Park to play basketball. We are, you know, what was that movie or the kids movie where the guy just took all the kids' toys? We're not trying to take all the basketball hoops away of them, are we? I mean, I thought we were coming back with a basketball.
Bank shot is basketball, Mr. President, and that's what was discussed for that multi-purpose area. You know, we also have the half court at Iowa. And then again, if it's park director's desire, which I believe it is, something at Murphy. So that was going away.
Priority has to be the camera, though, right? I mean, there's no point in further investment until we can get a camera over there.
I believe that was already ordered by the IT director.
I'd like to so we, July 4th, you always do a great job. It's always in conjunction with our parade. The same plan? When the parade concludes, we're right downtown, and you're already here ready to go?
I'm just waiting for Steve. He usually has his meeting later, right before, maybe a month and a half before the event takes place. But I just want to confirm the parade right with the car show.
So the reason I ask that is you do a great job. Always do. We always attend and support you.
Thank you.
Parade has been bigger every year we've been doing this, too. The community has really responded. We're doing a great job with that. It's my understanding also, though, that this corner public square is going to be ready to go, we're hoping, July 4th, correct?
That's the plan. Cut the ribbon July 4th. You know, Dave and I always organize this 4th of July event, and we always have in the past. It's been a success. We'll continue to do that and include public square. Hope that's the plan, for it to be done and ready for the 4th of July. Those were the marching orders we had given the contractors.
So we've always been partners. You guys have worked well together. I'm just saying this is going to be another level now, right? If you're booking food trucks, I know that's also our desire at Public Square. We have the area there as well. So the last thing I want to see is anything we do hinder what you do, because you do a good job at it. But we're also looking now to get into the same space you are, right? So how does it work where we're all together and make sure we're not competing with one another and we're on the same team? So I just want to make sure before we put anything and you're booking anything,
right,
have those meetings and make sure everyone's pulling in the same direction.
Understand. Yep.
About 30 seconds.
I just appreciate what everybody's doing. You know, you guys are all doing a fine job. And I appreciate that you working with me through the events and stuff. I got a lot of different things that I'd like to suggest. And I just want to address everybody with them at a later date. But I like to see this going forward.
Any other public comments? Just your name.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. David DeCristofaro is my name, and I'm your Trumbull County engineer. And today I have with me my Director of Government Affairs, Lauren Hill, who I'd like to introduce. Lauren, if you'd stand up, please. No, you're good there. There'll be a time I call you up, but not right now. So I want to share with you the status of the SALT program that the engineer's office coordinates for 41 communities. Niles ordered 2,000 tons of salt for this season, and you've used 1,570 tons that we actually delivered. Whether you use them all or not, it's not for us to know, but we delivered that much. You have about 429 remaining, which is about a 79% consumption. And so you guys are in good shape for the balance of the year. In April of this year, I'll be submitting my order for the 2026-2027 winter season. And for about the past 10 years, starting under the previous county engineer, this order has included orders of 41 entities, all in Trumbull County. You are one of those entities. It's nearly every city, village, and township orders through the engineer's office. And the only township or the only village and township that doesn't, they order direct, is Cortland and Liberty. After recently meeting with representatives from a couple of our villages and cities that buy salt through us, they informed me that the previous engineer led them to believe that in order for their village or city to get the same price the county engineer pays for salt, they would need to order their salt through the county engineer's office. I find it necessary to correct this information. We purchase salt through the ODOT contract, and in fact, according to ORC 5513.01, ODOT has permitted every political subdivision, including colleges and universities, to participate in their contract for salt, just as we do at the county engineer's office, and just as Cortland and Liberty do, at the same price we pay, regardless of the size of the order, and without going through the engineer's office. From my research throughout the whole state, we are the only county that does this. Likely because, as I'll explain, it doesn't make sense. This has caused the county engineer's salt order to expand from 12,000 tons a year to 34,000 tons a year. That additional 22,000 tons of salt that is ordered for the other 41 entities is dropped off at our office, at the engineer's office, by the mines, the salt mines, and then it's loaded in trucks and delivered to all these entities at an additional cost to each of you. Whether you delivered it, whether it was delivered by us or picked up by you, it's not much difference in price. You're either paying your people or you're paying our people to truck it to you. These costs are now in the tens of thousands of dollars and approaching $100,000 a year for these 41 entities. Totally unnecessary. If these entities ordered salt directly through ODOT contract, the salt mines would deliver the salt directly to you at no cost. Now, I recognize that some of the smaller townships and villages may still benefit by ordering salt through our office, and that's perfectly fine. But for the larger townships, cities, and villages with larger orders exceeding 500 tons, which you have 2,000 tons, and that have a storage facility, which you do and many of the others do, it would likely be in your best interest to order salt directly through the ODOT contract rather than ordering it through my office. This way, not only do you pay the same price as we do, you have the salt delivered directly to you at no cost. If you're interested in learning more about how you can contract directly with ODOT, I would be more than happy to meet with you to discuss all of it. I've already discussed this with a big village and a big city, and they are very interested in signing up for their own account through ODOT. It's an easy process to sign up online through the ODOT purchasing program, and I'd be more than willing to allow one of my staff members to meet with you at your office to walk through this online process step by step. I truly believe purchasing salt directly through the ODOT would be beneficial for everyone, especially the larger communities. But for those who would rather keep things the way they are and order through us, that's perfectly fine. We'll continue to do that for you. But if you'd like to consider the option of purchasing salt on your own, don't hesitate to contact us. And at this time, I'm going to ask Lauren if she would pass out her card to anyone who may be interested in talking to us about how you can order salt through ODOT on your own and avoid these delivery costs. You can feel free to call us.
She's permitted to start down there and pass it across.
David, we'll definitely have that conversation.
Yes, I would love to have that. Maybe I'll give you a card. And you know my number.
Mr. Engineer, I do have a question.
I'm finished, so if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. All you got to do is tell them when you want it. They'll deliver it to you, and you'll pay directly to them. You won't pay through our office. You'll pay directly to them. They'll deliver it when you want it. Here's one of the problems that we have at the engineer's office. So we are ordering for 41 entities. When we put in an order, I may get 250 tons in a week. Warren calls me and say, hey, I need 250 tons. And I say, well, you know, our stockpile is now running low because everybody's been, so I get extra tonnage and Warren wants the whole thing. And I have to tell him, I can't give you the whole thing because Niles called and wanted 50 tons. And I've got Champion who wants 20 tons. And so I can't give Warren everything. I've even had, and I think I emailed the mayor at one time, and the Warren mayor, that I asked them to use your salt in your dome for at least another week or two because we are running short on salt in our dome because the deliveries are not coming in the quantities that we need them to service 41 entities. So that's a challenge at our location, but it's not, it's an unnecessary challenge because each of these communities can order through their, through ODOT on their own, pay when they order it, when they receive the salt, and call when they need it.
There is tons of salt, right? You get more salt than you could.
We order 34,000 tons of salt, so there's
they have that much more, right? They're never run out, correct?
That's not correct. So the mines take orders in April for the following season, for November through the following March or whenever it stops snowing. You have to tell them exactly how many tons you need. You can be under by 15% or you can be over by 15%. So if you need 100 tons and you only order 85 tons, that's fine. But you're committed to buying 85 tons. If you need more, they'll give you an additional 15% more. And they're committed. They are committed to give that to you. But beyond that, this year they made an additional commitment to give us an additional 10% at a higher cost. But previous years there was no extra 10%. You either got 100, you got 15% over that 100, or but you had to buy at least 85% or 85 tons in that 100 ton example that I gave you. There is no unlimited salt because they plan on mining so much based upon the orders that they get.
We're not going to be competing and trying to against other places for that salt.
You won't be competing for other places for that salt, no. And three suppliers of salt. I got a map to show you, and you can all see the three different colors. The blue is the Morton salt delivery areas. They bid on these in these various counties, these districts. Morton Salt has the blue. Cargill has the green, and a smaller company called Compass has the gold. And they bid on this through ODOT, and these various counties are selected by the, you know, bid on by these various companies, and that's who gets the contracts, who has the best price in those counties, in those districts. So, yeah, it's limited to how many tons are ordered by all the counties in blue for Morton.
Are we negotiating with them on price, or that's the price for that county?
ODOT puts out the bid. So, and we don't put out the bid at the engineer's office. You don't put out the bid. ODOT puts out the bid. Everybody in that blue area pays well, the amount per county. It varies per county. The southern counties pay a little more because the delivery cost is a little more from the lake. The northern counties pay a little less because the delivery cost is less from the lake. This is where the salt's coming from. And so it's based by county, but ODOT puts out the bids. We don't, you don't, none of the communities in Trumbull County do. And on a, give you an example of our order. So you can look at every county in the state. And I looked at two in particular, and I didn't bring them with me, but Mahoney County, their order is less than half of ours. The only county that's more than us is Cuyahoga County, and that's because Cleveland orders 70,000 tons. We are the next county, the next largest order next to Cleveland in the whole county, Columbus, Cincinnati, is because we order for the whole county. They order for themselves, each of the communities. Mahoney County must have 20 communities that order on their own through ODOT. We have three: Trumbull County, Liberty Township, and Cortland. Liberty Township and Cortland order through ODOT on their own already.
I have two questions. One, you're saying we're the second largest purchaser, is what you found. By breaking that up and we become a much smaller customer to that salt mine, would we lose any kind of priority?
No. There is no difference in price for the smallest buyer who buys 20.
Not price. I know the price is fixed. I'm just saying supply and demand. If we're the second largest, I'm sure they're taking our calls right away. If we were to run short or if we were to not order enough, does our priority, we're a much smaller entity to them now.
No, your priority doesn't drop either. Yeah.
And the other question was, you had mentioned that there were a couple smaller townships and villages that it would still be beneficial to them to stay ordering through you. What would be their benefit? Is it strictly storage? They don't have the storage? Okay.
That's primarily one, yes. Some of these places, you know, you're 2,000 tons. We have a few places, like, for example, the village of West Farmington, if you all know where that's at, northwest Trumbull County. They order 10 tons. You order 2,000 tons. I mean, West Farmington, the trucks that deliver it from Morton want to deliver a minimum of what their trucks will carry. They're not going to carry a half of a load. Yeah.
Any other questions from council?
Mr. President.
Thank you, David, and I do want to...
Mr. President. Just a quick note, and I was going to commend the engineer and his team for how smooth of an operation that we in Niles have had with them in regards to buying of the material, in regards to inventorying and pricing and billing, et cetera. So things seem like they were working pretty good in terms of Niles, and in my opinion. Aaron, you noted same question that I had. That would be my concern, is the availability and the reliability. If the mines have to truck this material to 41 different entities, dropping a little bit here and a little bit here, as opposed to one centralized location and having that stored in that dome that you have. So that's my number one concern, that we're going to reach out to Morton and Cargill and the other ones to see if that truly is going to be an issue. You're correct in saying that we do not have to go strictly with the county engineer's office for the salt buying program. We could have always done that on our own. What I was always told in the past why Trumbull County was sort of required to do that is because the dome itself was bought, installed, paid for through a grant. That at the time that grant was written, it was written with the basis that would serve all or majority of the communities in Trumbull County. Now, I don't know if that, again, is fully accurate. That's what I was always told, why the majority of Trumbull County did move to this one centralized salt buying program. So hopefully that's not the case. And if it was, I think we would need to do our due diligence to see what would happen as far as the grant funds go, if that would have to be paid back by the engineer's office or not.
With regard to that, I can say for a fact that the county has been paying a mortgage or a loan on that building for 10 years, and this year was our last payment. Now, whether any part of it, whether some of it may have been through a grant, I don't know, but I couldn't answer that. I could look into that. But I could say that we finally got it paid off. And although it's been paid off, it's taken tens and tens of thousands of dollars of maintenance. I know we just spent tens and tens of thousands of dollars this year to maintain a lot of the turnbuckles that have been rusting out. And, you know, with those rusted out as bad as they were, the dome could have collapsed. But we got them all replaced at a 10, I can't tell you the exact figure, but it's probably close to $50,000.
Sure. And we're sort of in the same boat and planning ahead with our dome. And our dome only holds about approximately 500 tons of salt. So it was always made us comfortable, and I think our residents comfortable, that we were able to drop what we're doing, run up to the county to pick up another load with the stored material we had there. But we are in the same boat as far as our storage goes.
And you could still do that if you want. I'm not ending that. If for those communities who want to continue that, you're welcome to. But give you an example with 2,000 tons. If we were to deliver 2,000 tons, you know, over the course of the year, you would be paying about $8,000 more than you would have to pay, because you're paying either us or you're paying your people. You know, we pay about the same rates for our labor, and, you know, it takes about the same time. You guys got to take a little longer because you have to wait in line for loading and you have to wait in line for scale, and we can do it at our convenience. But, you know, it's an additional cost that you can save or you can spend. And sure. For you, for the convenience, if that's what it is for you, as a convenience, yeah, it's your call.
So, Dave, is it, I don't want to put you on the spot, but is it your recommendation that we explore individually and as well as the other entities in Trumbull County? It's your recommendation that we do explore individually?
I'm letting each community make that decision on their own.
Okay,
fair enough. I'm not telling you what to do. So that,
but should next year we choose to go through you, we would be afforded that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mr. Otter, do you have anything?
No, that covered everything.
Council, any other questions?
Thank you.
David, I want to thank you for coming and bringing your lovely political...
Lauren Hill.
Yes. And I should know the name.
Lauren Hill.
I should know the name, right?
Yeah, I know. You work there once in a while.
So that being said, I want to apologize to council, because this was a last second thing and I was thinking it was more public comments. It probably should have been treated more as a presentation. And in the future, I'll be a little more diligent about separating the two if we're going to bring in a public or elected official, especially obviously we welcome that information. And in the future, I'll separate that and show the distinct difference of public comments to a presentation. So. Any other public comments? Any other public comments? Seeing none, clerk, if we go to tonight's legislation.
The following drafts will be brought to the floor for the first time. Draft number 3526, an ordinance amending ordinance number 1626, known as the Authorized Strength Ordinance, and declaring an emergency. Draft 3826, an ordinance authorizing the service director to approve and authorize the execution of the Bright Mountain Solar Schedule with American Municipal Power, Inc., and taking of other actions in connection therewith, and declaring an emergency.
Do we have a motion for a first reading?
I'll make the motion.
Question. Is the motion for both?
Yes. We got a motion by Mr. Julian, second by Mr. Waddell. Call the roll.
Mr. Waddell? Mr. Johnstone?
Yes.
Mr. Shealy?
Yes.
Mr. Leskovic?
Yes.
Mr. Julian?
Yes.
Mr. Lastic?
Yes.
Mr. Stredney?
Yes.
7 yeas, 0 nays.
Draft number 35-26 and 38-26 has received the first reading. Clerk, today's consent agenda, please.
The following drafts will be part of the consent agenda, being brought to the floor for the first time, passed together with suspension of three readings, and adopted as an emergency. Draft number 3226, an ordinance approving a then and now payment request for Civic Plus for law office software. Draft number 3326, an ordinance approving a then and now payment request for Summit Supply for repair of emergency water main breaks. Draft number 3426, an ordinance approving a then and now payment request for Z-Tech Builders and Excavations for repair of emergency water main breaks. Draft number 3626, an ordinance authorizing appropriation of funds from the unappropriated general fund and the police and fire fund for equipment purchases. Draft number 3726, an ordinance authorizing the safety director to prepare and execute on behalf of the local public agency, City Council of Niles, an application for SRTS funds for the Safe Route to School project and to submit to the State of Ohio Department of Transportation. Draft number 3926, an ordinance authorizing monthly cash transfers. Draft number 4026, an ordinance authorizing an appropriation of budget transfer for the lead service line identification WSRLA loan. Draft number 4126, an ordinance accepting a donation from the Niles Youth League and authorizing the appropriation of funds from the unappropriated park fund for park purchases. And draft number 4226, an ordinance authorizing the service director to enter into contract with Wiring Unlimited, Inc. for upgrade of SCADA.
We got a motion to suspend and adopt the consent agenda.
Motion to suspend.
Second. Motion by Mr. Lastic, second by Mr. Johnstone. Call the roll.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Mr. Johnstone?
Yes.
Mr. Shealy?
Yes.
Mr. Leskovic?
Yes.
Mr. Julian?
Yes.
Mr. Lastic?
Yes.
Mr. Stredney?
Yes.
7 yeas, 0 nays.
The consent agenda has been suspended and adopted under council rule. If we could go to today's miscellaneous remarks, closing comments, starting with Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have a couple quick comments. One, I do want to recognize longtime city employee, Ms. Nina Thomas, on her upcoming retirement. From the City of Niles. She's been in the wastewater treatment and water department secretary's position for quite some time. So I do want to wish Nina a happy retirement and best of luck in all her future endeavors. If you haven't seen the news yet, I know we had touched about it a couple meetings ago, but our federal earmark was approved by both the House and the Senate. That bill was sent to the president's desk and approved as well. So this is the city's second federal earmark. This one is for $600,000 for our sanitary pump station project, detention pump station project phase three. Second federal earmark that the city of Niles has received in the past 4 years. So I think that's something all of us should be very proud of. Next, if you have seen the news Tribune about the initiative to regionalize water throughout Trumbull County, I want to be very clear that though Niles has been mentioned at the county level, City of Niles or the MVSD has had zero conversation with this water advisory board or our county officials, for that matter. The setup that we have as a partner in the MVSD, along with the City of Youngstown, is something that benefits not only Niles and Youngstown, but a lot of the other users who purchase water from the MVSD. And to cite regionalization and induce a sense that this may be on the horizon. A couple years ago, if most of you can recall, since you did approve the bulk contracts, 2 years ago we did renegotiate and approve 20-year bulk contracts with Trumbull County and Girard. So the idea that this may occur sometime in the near future, they're locked into contract for 20 years for bulk purchase through the City of Niles. So I just want to make that very clear that myself, no one in this room has had conversation, and it was kind of disheartening to see Niles now for the second time appear in the news when we aren't even being considered or we aren't even at the table during these discussions.
This came from the commissioner's office?
Came from the commissioner's Water Advisory Board, which they were the ones who last year form this board. And then finally, as most of you probably know already, I don't know if you're getting calls or not from your constituents, but the gas aggregate letters did go out to all of the Niles residents for our opt-in program through Eastern Power and Gas. We've had a lot of calls. Is this legit? Is this real? If you do get those calls, those letters did go out. And once again, all of that information is on the City of Niles website if you do want to steer them to the city's website. And that's all I have, Mr. President.
Mr. Auditor?
No comment.
Mr. Service Director? Safety Director? No
comment. Chief?
Mr. Waddell? Mr. Johnstone?
Yeah, I hope I'm not taking anything from Mr. Shealy, but we, Mr. Shealy and myself, had a meeting with the mayor and the service director, and I want to thank you guys for your time. At our last council meeting, we discussed the meter reads and how inclement weather or what have yous happen, and trying to offset some of that burden to the resident. And they were more than gracious. The software is not going to allow us to do what I proposed about capping at that 30, 31 days and advancing the rest of the money. However, they understand the situation they're in. And if you are in a particular hardship and that read has exceeded that monthly span, they have committed that they will work with you. They are not going to require the full 45 if you're truly having a hardship. They are more than willing to work with you, and I thank you guys for your time and making that available to the residents. These costs are going up. We are very much one of the leaders in Trumbull County of keeping those rates low, but it also is still going up, and we're sympathetic to the residents that they are seeing their bills go up. The last thing we wanted to do was hit them with an extended period that they weren't expecting. So again, thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, Mr. Shealy, for setting all that up. I also attended the school board meeting last night, and one thing I'd like to pass on, I know as our community around this table, we have a lot of discussions about what's going on at the state with property taxes, and I'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of variables, and there's a lot of uncertainty up here, but the schools are in the process of doing their five-year forecast, and it is not good with a lot of the proposals coming out of Columbus. So I urge residents to please reach out, attend a school board meeting, and educate yourself on what these proposals out of Columbus are going to do to your public school system. Not just us. We're not the only ones in this. People always ask, you know, why did you run? Why do you love your city so much? And I look at Chase Miller's situation and tell you that's exactly why. The way the community put their arm around him, whether you knew him or not, he was one of yours. And he fought a fight that I couldn't even imagine. And that family is really going through something right now. So we have supported them through that battle. And I know Niles will continue to support them in this difficult chapter as well. So please reach out and let them know that you're thinking of them. And I'd appreciate that. Thanks.
To touch a little bit on what Aaron had shared about our discussions about the utilities, I thank the administration for taking the time to sit down, talk with us about this, and to work things out so that, you know, if the people are having a hardship, they have the help there. You know, they can get that taken care of. So moving forward, once we get all these meters done, once the city gets all these meters done in the future, we can nip all this in the butt, get it taken care of, and there will no longer be these huge discrepancies. Even when you have people on vacation, it'll take care of this, and we won't have a lot of these issues. Thank you very much. That's all I have to say.
Nothing at this time.
Mr. Julian?
No comment.
Mr. Lastic? Mr. Stredney?
Yes, Mr. President. I guess I got two things. One is more of a question or a favor. I myself, and I know a few other people here, will not be able to attend the March 18th council meeting. I don't know if it's possible to ask council to consider moving that meeting. If not, you know, please excuse my
attendance. Are you saying there, besides yourself, there's other?
I would actually, we talked with the, and I don't see, at this point, there's nothing pressing. I think we could probably
Push just it back make a motion a week to cancel 20, that meeting.
Go to the 25th potentially? Or just go with one meeting in March?
Yeah, I think unless there's something that comes up, we could call a special meeting, but at this time, they don't foresee that. I think we could just get away with eliminating that meeting if council approves. If not, we're...
Mr. Waddell, would that be your wish just to go ahead and do the one in March and then pick the other up in April?
Well, not pick up.
Up in April. I'm just, Todd, is that what your thoughts are? Yep. Want to do?
Yep.
And Aaron already expressed that. Really?
How many councilmen are going to be at? Me for one.
Aaron, I'm also going to be at the same seminar.
A law director, the clerk, Mr. Stredney, Mr. Johnstone.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just cancel the meeting.
But, so that'd be your wish as well, Mr. Shealy?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Mr. Julian?
Yeah, I just said yeah.
Mr. Lastic?
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to cancel the March 18th meeting.
Do we need that in the form of a motion? Are we good? We're good.
But also, if something were to come up, everyone would be flexible.
As needed, a special meeting, if needed. Mr. Law Director, do you have anything?
No comment.
I have one more.
Okay.
Just for transparency, before City Council tonight, I've asked the Law Director to submit legislation for next council meeting for the Vaughn Isles Estate. They have... submitted for one of the grants through the CIC program, and they've met all the qualifications, so that legislation will be for our consideration next council meeting.
I get two things. Obviously, the first being the most important is the tragedy with Matt Bussey and Bobby Joe. I think, you know, obviously, you know, they've had a long agony of this, and even though culminated today with the passing, that they're suffering, as Mr. Johnstone said, so keep them in your prayers. And the other issue would be the I want to discuss a little further more about the basketball court or hoop. I understand is bank shot, but I've never heard of a bank shot. It's not a basketball game. I mean, for people to go play basketball. So I want to talk about that a little further. You know, it's okay to have a trick game or whatever, but I think our desire was to help the citizens all down there have somewhere to go play basketball, even if we only did a half a court. So I'd like to get a little deeper in that discussion about, and in talking with other council members, that was their understanding as well. So I would like to get deeper into that by the next time we meet, of having something to allow. I don't think we get, you know, having one court, and if you count Iowa Park, which we've maintained is not a park, it's just a neighborhood, then we need to go ahead and consider something at Waddell to allow, especially with spring and summer coming, kids out to play basketball, which would kind of help the Profado situation where they're having everybody play in the road and everything else because there isn't anywhere. So I'd like to see the feasibility of being able to do such. So that being said, I have nothing else. Motion adjourned. All in favor?
Aye.